Thank you on our legislative report to our IGR crack team of Mr. De La Rosa and Ms. Bablich. So we'll send it to them.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, thank you very much. Some of the items we're going to talk about has already been addressed in the discussions leading up to this. I'd just like to say that very briefly, the legislative session took off with the after the inauguration of the governor, which the governor announced that Wisconsin is open for business. At that point, a series of special session bills and legislation were introduced for the creation and expansions of jobs in Wisconsin. Keeping on that theme, a series of bills have already passed, at least one house, dealing with the deductibility of health savings accounts, a tax credit for businesses that locate in Wisconsin, and tort reform. There's a series of other bills that are going to be coming to the governor as early as Wednesday of this week. And there's still some outstanding energy-related bills and wetlands legislation that will be pending. As indicated earlier, the governor tomorrow will be giving his State of the State address, in which he tries to paint the economic picture for the state of Wisconsin. At this point, it's going to be twofold. He's going to be presenting some ideas relative to his budget, which will be presented in his budget address on February 22nd, but lay out some parameters in his State of the State address. More specifically, he will also do another thing, and that's make some recommendations with regards to the current deficit in this year that ends in June. That's been identified as having $214 million in medical assistance shortfall, $200 million in the injured patient family compensation fund, $60 million in the Minnesota income tax reciprocity, to the total of about $500 million. Not all of that is going to be paid out at one time, but he's going to lay out the parameters by which payments for which those will take place. With that said, there is exposure. Everything's on the table. Hopefully, county exposure to services and programming funds that we have will not be included in attempting to deal with this $500 million deficit. However, the reality is everything's on the table, so there could be some exposure to county programs. As it relates to the bigger deficit, the $3 billion plus deficit, and there's two items of concern that have been discussed in Madison. One deals with mass transit operating assistance, and the other deals with shared revenue. For purposes of mass transit operating assistance, we have Ms. Lena Milano-Conley, who's with us from transit. We were in a meeting in Madison on Friday in which there were some discussions relative to pulling out mass transit operating assistance out of the segregated transportation zone, dropping it into general purpose revenues, as been indicated earlier, which would put in competition with general purpose revenue funding, which already is at a deficit. That would be problematic. That's one of the items that has been discussed. And before I go into shared revenue, if there's anything relative to mass transit operating assistance, I'll be glad to respond to any questions or Ms. Conley.
Well, we want to bring Ms. Conley up now. My quick comment would be anything from staff or Mr. Katie is that one thing I think was argued on our floor before, you know, as the sales tax is that, of course, then Governor Doyle put a lot of money out of transportation to do it, you know, general purpose. You're saying that's a possibility. Again, I thought that that was one of the arguments that maybe we wouldn't have to turn that anything in transportation. I thought the new governor has said or tried to emphasize that monies in transportation will stay in that, or am I misreading that, or is that hearsay? In other words, you know, the problem that you suggest, or maybe you have a comment on this, kindly to introduce yourself in a second. In other words, you know, we're not going to do what the previous administration did. We know the previous administration did a lot of taking money from transportation, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and moved into other areas. And this is what kind of you're saying here, too, that this is a possibility that you saw. So I thought that might be a change. Is that naive on my part to think of that?
The reality of the situation, too, is also that preference would be given to roads. It's basically
okay.
A question of priority.
Okay.
And obviously it looks like mass transit would take a lower priority versus roads.
Okay. Maybe what Ms. Conley can answer that and other things. Thank you. Want to introduce yourself again, please?
Anita Galata Connolly, Managing Director of the Milwaukee County Transit System. Thank you, Mr.
Coming.
Chairman, members of the committee. I was in Madison on Friday, both for Wisconsin Urban and Rural Transit Association meeting. I'm the chair of that organization. We had extensive discussion around this topic at our WERDA meeting and also at a meeting that followed of a widespread group of advocates for transit across the state that we are working together to try and mobilize individuals that have interest in transportation from elderly and disability aspects, from environmental aspects, from all different types of groups that are very supportive of transit. Our understanding from discussion both with Roy and Kelly and with our lobbyist for WERDA is that it is extremely likely that they may try and remove public transit funding from the transportation fund under the argument that public transportation isn't transportation but a public service. And we are going to fight very, very hard to see that that does not become the case. I think that it is very evident, and there are many facts to support the argument that public transportation is an essential part of our entire transportation infrastructure, and it should continue to be funded as part of the transportation fund. Obviously, the move is to try and not fund public transportation by taking it from a fund that is well established, that they've made the arguments that it should not be used for anything but transportation. And in addition to that, they are currently trying to take revenue that currently goes into the general fund from the sale of automobiles and put that into the transportation fund, is one argument that we've heard. So they're trying to expand that pot, and then they're trying to remove public transportation from it so that there'll be even more dollars available for roads across the state. And your public transit systems from Milwaukee to Bayfield, this is a statewide issue. It is not just a Milwaukee issue, and we are going to be very strongly making that case in Madison that this affects a lot of very small rural systems that provide transportation for grandma to go to the doctor. And all of those systems are in jeopardy if they remove public transit from the transportation fund, because the general fund has a $3 billion deficit, and we will be competing with all of the other programs that require funding under that general fund. So I think that there are very strong arguments in favor of why it should remain part of the transportation fund, and we are working to mobilize a group of individuals across the state to support that position. If, in fact, that should be put forward either as part of the governor's budget or as an amendment to the budget from some of the members of the legislature.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I just needed to correct you on Governor Doyle didn't raid the transportation fund. The cash that was taken out of the transportation fund was replaced with bonding. So there were no transportation projects that were not completed. And in fact, it is exactly what now Governor-elect Walker did here in Milwaukee County by taking money out of the capital accounts from the sales tax revenue instead of cash financing capital, using that money in the operating budget, and then bonding for those capital projects. It's exactly what they did at the state. So all of this about, you know, raiding the transportation fund, if we ever had a media around here that wrote the truth rather than propaganda, they would have said that Walker did exactly what Doyle did on the local level. Now, what they're trying to do on transit is just fulfill a philosophy that buses and transit systems are for poor people, so that's a service, just like welfare. And roads are for rich people that pay gas taxes, and that's where the money's going. It's as clear as that. And what we need to articulate and what they have to articulate across the state is that buses are not for poor people. Public transportation is not a welfare program. It's how wealthy people, middle-income people, poor people, it's about how we get around a city. It's about how we get around a community to get the jobs and get the school and things like that. So this is nothing more than a fulfillment of backward philosophy on transportation. And I just find it, you know, kind of strange. They say they're not going to cut the transportation budget, so we'll just flip it on its head and say that public transit is not transportation, so we'll just cut that. And so it's a word game. It's very Orwellian. It's kind of strange. But, you know, in that, if we keep on propagating the false things from the beginning of the Doyle administration, it just sidetracks everybody from the beginning. And the real truth is they don't care about transit because transit is for poor people. It's a service just like W-2 or anything else. And until we break that mindset, we're not going to get anywhere. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Brock.
Thank you. As usual, Supervisor Weishan and I are on the same page. But I'm just wondering, it's a question for Roy Kelly, maybe you, Ms. Kelly. Have any of the pro-transit arguments been joined by the MMAC, Greater Milwaukee Committee? I mean, after all, these people were here and lobbying on behalf of the sales tax for transit, and it's their employees and customers who are obviously at risk here. Again, it raises in my mind, what does open for business mean? And what does it mean to the MMAC or the GMC? Have they been heard? Have they given voice to any of the arguments that they made back when they were testifying before our transportation committee?
I'll just respond. This whole issue of removing transit from the transportation fund really came up just last week, was the first time that any of us had heard of it. I don't believe that they have commented on that as yet, but we would certainly work to see that we could get them to support our position that transit needs to be adequately funded.
Well, with policy Neanderthals on the march, I would think that business interests would keep their guard up and not assume that the results of business-friendly, quote-unquote, administrations are going to serve their purposes.
And I think, if I may, Mr. Chairman, part of what was mentioned also with the discussions on Friday is an educational process that needs to take place, and obviously that would have to involve the business community, too. So.
Yeah, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, well, Supervisor Boucher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You touched lightly on it, but I wanted a little bit more information of the ripple effect, how that would affect the paratransit and the services for the disabled as well as our senior citizens. I mean, I think I know the answer, but I'd like, since you have more information than me, and for the record, what something like that could possibly do to jeopardize the future of those services. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, the Milwaukee County Transit System currently receives close to 40% of its funding from the state through the Transit Assistance Program, and that is a total of close to $70 million in a $170 million budget. The Milwaukee County portion of our budget is about 12% of our budget. So if there were a tax on the bulk of our funding, which is $70 million that comes through the state, which funds both fixed route and paratransit services, obviously we would be in a very, very difficult position in terms of trying to continue the vast majority of the services that we currently operate. As the supervisors pointed out, we look at issues like increasing fuel costs and medical costs and all the same things that you deal with here. Just in order to continue to provide services, we were trying to achieve a 2.5% increase in state funding in this budget process. And initially it was discussed that that was what was in the budget that was submitted by the department, a 2.2% increase for each year of the biennium. But it appears now that it could be very difficult just to maintain the level of funding that we have, particularly if it's removed from the transportation fund, which is a dedicated fund for transportation. So, you know, the magnitude of losing $70 million potentially is huge, and it will shut down transit systems across the state, us included.
Thank you. You know, this whole thing is very disturbing, but that's especially disturbing to think that particularly people that really have no other choice than to count on our transit and paratransit services. I mean, many have no other choice because of their transportation needs, but when there are people in our community that's their only way to get to doctor's appointments and other things that they need to be independent, we really have to take a good look in the mirror. So I just wanted to get that on the record, and I will do my part as I just had my meeting on Friday with the Commission on Aging. But they have an advocacy group, and I'd like to think with their relationship and with the director and the things that they've done, that they have a direct line into some state government offices, and they will put time into calling people. So I will make sure that message is heard on that part. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. In all fairness, yes, sir, what this may do for horse and buggy sales could be a real brilliant.
Thank you for the editorial comments.
I'm always happy to provide that.
Well, you know, I think we're talking about also ways of looking at the pot that we have. I appreciate what the comments have been made. Is it, again, the history of it and my education, maybe someone else on the committee, but the gas tax, has it been exclusively used for roads, or is there a way to petition that part of it should be going to public transportation too?
Mr. Chairman, it becomes part of the transportation fund, all of the gas tax, and the transportation fund funding on transportation through the state. Transit gets about 6% of the total funding for transportation in the state. So it's not a very large percentage of the total transportation funding.
So is it unrealistic? You know, we're looking for themes or partners or what we can do. I mean, I think it's a pretty common theme that we need help for a transportation system. I think that's been established without question. You know, again, I hate to use this fair share idea, but again, when if you look at our transportation systems, you look at the totals, the numbers that we put on the buses every day. I'm looking for something too, and I know we have these couple other ideas. And, is there a way to, and I know we're in competition, as you said, I mean, to fight against that, you know, calling this transportation something, I think that's very important. I know you're going to work very hard on that. Any help we can be on that, our staff would be willing to find other partners, of course, maybe other places of state. Now, this is what speaks volumes. So I guess I got two questions when I was thinking back. But will we have partnerships with other parts of the state in not reading this? I know we don't like that word. In making priorities of the fund that you're taking out. But do you feel strongly that we do have partnership there, so if it's something realistic, we certainly can go after and make it a priority to do that?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think there's any doubt that you will have partners across the state on this issue. There are 20-some small to mid-sized bus systems in the state that receive funding through the transportation system, the Appletons, Beloit, Janeville, La Crosse, Eau Claire's. In addition, there are more than 20-some communities that have shared ride taxi systems that are supported through the transportation fund. So there are more than 65 different systems, I believe, across the state that do receive funding for their public transportation, and all of those systems will be jeopardized because the state covers a very significant portion of their funding.
Supervisor, I'll come back to you. My last thought on this is that this is something that we can't start immediately, obviously. I mean, this is more than just a rumor, in your opinion. I know Kelly and Roy agree with that comment, too. You've heard that, obviously, too. So something to start on. And I would say that, it's a month away, a little less than a month, February 22nd, it seems very critical, too, because we'll get specific. specifics on the budget and transportation shared revenue. And then I guess as a maybe as a staff to come back to us and you know to try to get a strategy on what's the most practical application. I know everyone agrees with that comment, but to what we can do as far as this transportation. Hopefully we'll have some answers already on that budget with our other two priorities we had that we spent time on. And I'm never giving up on this either. We're going to keep going to Madison no matter what. And that is and the 6.8 from the GAMP and then the juvenile justice too, so we're not going to forget about that either. Supervisor Weishaupt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to point out your comment on the fair share. Milwaukee County alone is 20% of the state's population. You know, we're 1 million people here out of a state of a little over 5 million people. If I remember right from some of the other stats, it's one-third of all registered motor vehicles are registered in Milwaukee County for the state of Wisconsin. So when you look at gas tax, when you look at all of the things people drive to get to, they're in Milwaukee County, whether it's Summerfest in the summer, a Brewer game, a Bucks game, all of these things. And it is literally billions of dollars worth of gasoline tax that is created right here in Milwaukee County. And, so when you talk about our fair share coming back, now, and some of the road projects, they'll point out like the Marquette Interchange and things like that, but that has a statewide importance. And I would compare that to a highway that I'm familiar with because when I go up to Marinette County is Highway 141. It's John Garden's project up there. The reason I remember it is because it was a $140 million project for Highway 141. And I don't think that over the next 10 years you'll collect $140 million worth of gas tax in that area. Because you got, a cheese factory in Lena and county forest and a bunch of farmers. That's about it. And there, we literally have apartment complexes bigger than half of these towns that you drive by that since they redid 141 that are now going to be abandoned. I mean, you used to stop every once in a while. But, I think when you look at the politics of road construction throughout Wisconsin, that's where you're going to run into bad metaphor, the roadblock, because they are making a ton of money, I think, taking gas tax money from Milwaukee County and building, a $15 million bypass around Clintonville and a $141 million, highway, so some farmer can make a bundle selling his money to his land to the state of Wisconsin. And I think until you get through that swamp, you're never going to see the fair share actually come back to Milwaukee County, or at least keep what we get. Create. So, thank you. I just wanted to make that comment on
thank
the
you.
Fair share.
Anything else from
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to support some of the comments that Supervisor Weishaupt made earlier. We are going to be focusing in our information that we put forward to the state that transportation is really part of our economic infrastructure and that, close to 50% of the people that use public transit do use it to get to jobs and to access other job-related activities. And in addition to that, close to 12% of the rides on our system and much more in some of the other systems across the state are to access school and other educational opportunities. So if we really want to talk about supporting economic development, supporting jobs, and supporting opportunities for individuals to move forward in their lives, public transportation is a huge part of that. And by the cuts that we've made over the last several years, 40% of the jobs in the area are no longer accessible to individuals. Those are all very, very important things that we have to make sure that the legislature understands as we move forward. In addition, Supervisor mentioned Summerfest. We carry over 400,000 rides to Summerfest and other summer related activities that generate a huge amount of income for the local economy. And without that level of support, there's just going to be gridlock in relation to a lot of those things, and they will not be as productive as they have been in the past. So we will be working to get that information out to state legislators as well. Thank you, Supervisor.
Thank you. Okay.
One other item that we may okay. Really to the topic, sure. One of which deals with shared revenue, and the other is child support enforcement right. Funding 2011 contracts.
Thank you.
As it relates to the shared revenue, some discussion that already takes place earlier, mm-hmm. It looks like shared revenue may be either, if not cut, maybe transformed as what we currently know it as being identified as a tool that will be traded off or used in dealing with the deficit. And in turn for that, there would be municipal employment rule changes, i.e. legislation dealing with pension contributions, healthcare costs. That's one of the items that's being mentioned relative to shared revenue. So that may take either the form of a cut or a transformation cost with that kind of a change. Again, the analysis of the budget once it's introduced, IGR working along with Department of Administrative Services to come up with an analysis for Milwaukee County impact will be taking place after the budget has been introduced for a presentation at an upcoming meeting. On a positive note, we do have Ms. Marks with us for child support enforcement. Mm-hmm. You can give us the latest relative to the 2009 contracts.
Okay. Thank you. Introduce yourself, please.
Good morning, Chairman and committee members. Lisa Marks, the Director for the Department of Child Support Enforcement. During the budget process, well, let me back up even a little bit further, so if you don't mind just indulging me. In June of last year, June 25th, as we were preparing to put budgets together, we received our preliminary notice from the state of how much our allocation would be for calendar year 2011. And everyone had made the same assumption based on the previous state budget that we would have $8.5 million in continuing general purpose revenue funds from the state. And in our allocation, June 25th, Milwaukee had negotiated a little bit higher performance allocation based against the other 72 counties and went ahead and put our budget together. About a week before, it might have been 2 weeks before our actual hearing, the state said, you know, we need to talk to you because we think there was an error in how things were put together. And in actuality, money that had come from ARRA was used to fill part of the state budget, and the load at the general purpose revenue level for the state budgeting purposes was put in at $4.25 million instead of $8.5 million, and ARRA was used for the remainder amount. So instead of moving forward and having $8.5 million allocated across 72 counties, we really only had $4.25 million. Well, at that point, the counties weren't going to settle for just the state's word. As everyone is in the midst of getting their budget finalized, that was true. We had the legislation that Representative Grigsby and Senator Taylor had worked very hard in putting together for us, that we would have an allocation when federal funds was not available of $8.5 million. Unfortunately, as we made some visits with the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, we learned that they did set the baseline at, for the purposes of the state budget, going into the next year at 4.25. Thanks to the quick thinking of our intergovernmental relations staff, an opportunity came up at one of the last joint finance meetings, in which they were able to suggest another revenue line that was available to the Department of Children and Families that did allow for matchable money. And working again with Representative Grigsby's office, drafted a motion that allowed the Department of Children and Families to give county child support agencies the 4.25 in general purpose revenue and another 4.25 million in what was called program revenue from another program within the department before the end of 2010 for the purposes of our 2011 budget. As many of us know, the current governor, there was some sense that there might be a fiscal crisis announced shortly after he took office, and so we wanted to make sure that we had the money accessible to us, and that was part of the motion. And so we have all of the money for the 72 counties that was released. I have a copy of the handout. And so for calendar year 2011, all 72 counties were able to have the full $8.5 million in matchable funds based on that motion, and it was allocated before December 31st of 2010 and is sitting in our account.
That was good news. Good work. Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much. It's great.
Thank you very much.
We're all happy. We'll be up and doing that. Thank you, Roy and Kelly, too. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep it posted on that. But we're good. Okay, anything else?
For this year.
There was one issue that that came to my. Do we have more to cover?
No. I think
okay. This may be appropriate. Okay. I have heard some rumors that Parks Advocates are proposing working with legislators actively in proposing legislation that would permit parks districts throughout the state of Wisconsin. My concern is that they're working with some legislators who don't always own the most eco-positive reputation. And given the negative influence, the corrupting influence of money in politics, if this legislation was written in a way that permitted those untold amounts of money that the Supreme Court seems to be willing to have anyone spend, were applied to a parks district, we could have an entire board of developers. So I've taken a very cautious approach to the ideas of parks districts. I'm not opposed to them, but the devil's in the details in these things. And if you could just track that for us, and as parks chair, make me aware as soon as you hear something, and make the committee generally aware.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
So nothing you've heard of. That's always a possibility. It's kind of
something.
Okay. Okay. So we will. You have come.
Well, yes. Mr. Chairman, just before
sure.
we conclude,
sure.
It's always good because it can be kind of overwhelming. Just to get a refresher as to where we are on the timeline. Do we have any dates set for when some of the stuff will be officially unveiled? If not, it's okay. I just was wondering where we're at.
No, I mean, after the 22nd,
I thought it was
the whole budget, February 22nd.
Oh, that's the official date?
That's when he gives the budget address.
Yes.
So I
okay.
think tomorrow, what you will have is what I think Roy and Kelly talked about is, they said, well, how are we going to face the deficit going to June 30th and kind of some general parameters.
Okay.
I don't think we'll get a lot of specifics. Is that a fair statement to make? And then the 22nd is on the calendar for his budget address, and then, you know, all the things we talked about today, we should have pretty good idea, and maybe you'll have some ideas before that if things will leak out. And, you know, we've kind of set the scenario. We kind of know where things are going.
And I would imagine, Mr. Chairman, that with that timing, we have our next county board meeting is March 17th, so that would be just hopefully. I know it's a lot to digest in 4 months, but I would hope that right around there we could get that. We could probably have another IGR meeting and get that information.
Definitely in early March after the budget address, and should be working on things right away. And we'll. And then they're very good on, as you know, anything I get we'll share with the committee and everyone on the projections. Because that'll be your priority coming up. Of course, a couple of things we talked about, Ms. Conley today, specifically talking about, but, you know, you kind of got the margin errors, you kind of know where we're going the budget, but if we get the real specifics on the 22nd, and I mean, you'll look very closely at that, and that's when you'll be giving us advice on where we'll be going based upon what the governor actually does in the budget address. And I presume he has to give be very specific in that budget address.
The declaration of fiscal emergency.
Many times specific. At that point in time, the governors have indicated what they want you to know, and what you know is what you find out, and the details of that shortly thereafter. But Mr. Chairman, the WCA policy exchange, which is in early February, will also maybe be an indicator of some information that's starting to come out also.
And I am going to that. That's the 8th and 9th. I think a couple other members are going, but I will, you know, be with them. If there's anything we need to send after that, we'll get them to the committee too right away. Okay?
Great.
Thank you very much for your attendance and support today. Thank you. Thank you, staff, Mr. Keenan. Madam Clerk, thank you.